It's now time for Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM. He's here to take your questions regarding law and estate planning at 390-1370. And now, here's attorney Brad Wewell.
Good morning, everybody. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. We are back live this morning, and we are here on a football weekend, ladies and gentlemen. We've already had some high school games, had a lot of high school games. We've got, does UT play today, Snoop?
Yes, sir.
I think they do. Do the Aggies play today?
Yes, sir. Same time.
Same time. Different place. That's Thanksgiving. Same time, different place, and football is in the air, and this is Labor Day weekend, so that makes you feel like fall is upon us, and it may, Lord, we pray, rain some, hopefully a lot, 40% chance. That would be great. It's cooler, last time I checked. Cindy and I were on the back patio last week, and gosh, 94 never felt so good. So, we're here. This is Saturday. We are here answering questions live, taking your questions on estate planning this morning at 390-1370, 390-1370. I'm Brad Wewell. I'm board certified in estate planning and probate law by the Texas Board of Legal Specialization. This is a show where we answer questions about estate planning. We give you direction in this. It's a mysterious, can be frustrating, sometimes wacky system, and unfortunately that's what it is. But with our help, we can help you navigate some of these things. We can answer questions. We can give you maybe a little peace of mind, or maybe we'll disturb you enough to actually do something. Because the problem is that a lot of people out there haven't done any planning of any kind. You know who I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. You have done nothing. And I know you're we got plenty of John Waynes out there, boys, and you know, none of the guys are ever going to die. Certainly no baby boomers have ever died. No, that's just for old people. Old people die, not young people die. And baby boomers, we all kind of figure we're never going to die. And if you're a Gen Xer or somebody younger than that, let me just tell you, we see folks at the Wewell Law Firm all the time where a young loved one has passed away. And without planning, it will be a problem. So you need to get some, and today I'll answer questions about it. There's a lot of ways to do it, a lot of things to think about, a lot of things to be concerned about. But our call-in number this morning is 390-1370, 390-1370. Andy Wewell, second Wewell son, Eagle Scout, is out there on the phones. He'll take your call. He'll give me the note that you're calling, and I'll answer questions on the air. If you want to, you can email me, and our email address for the show is askbrad@wewell.us. That's askbrad@wiewell.us. So you can call, you can email, but either way, I want to get you an answer to your question regarding estate planning today. Try to get you on down the road. And again, if I can't give you peace of mind, maybe I can disturb you enough to get something going. And let's see what else. So let's talk about what estate planning is for just a second. Kind of a big area of the law, and estate planning means more than just a will or a trust, but it does certainly mean that. Powers of attorney for money, powers of attorney for medical, asset protection is something we do a lot of in our office. There is a brand new technique as of September 1st. This is September 5th, so it's about 4 days old. And this is something that you can take advantage of. You can do what's now called a series LLC. It's a limited liability company, but you can have subsidiary little companies underneath it. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because it's going to be a little bit more than I can explain this morning, but we are doing some. We've got a couple that's doing a series LLC because they've got a variety of little properties around and they want to make sure that they're protected. So you can do that in Texas now, and you can do a lot of things in Texas to protect your assets from being seized if you get sued. And we will offer, and we do a bunch of that. You can do business planning. We can talk about that this morning, too. How do I keep my business in my family? How do I make sure if my partner dies, I'm okay with the business? How do I make sure if I die, my family's okay with the business? We can talk about charitable planning. Hospice Austin has me coming to their group to talk to them soon about charitable planning options. Any Baby Can, we're trying to put together something with them. Special needs planning, big area now, where you've got developmentally disabled, small children, adult children, siblings, whatever. If they get money directly, it can be a disaster. There are ways to make sure that if you're the parent of that child, when you pass away, that your child is well taken care of, but still has all the government benefits they're entitled to available to them. And then we can talk about elder law. And elder law is where we're planning to help an older person keep some of their assets without giving them all to a nursing home if they have to go into a nursing home. We can also talk about probate, and we can also talk about pet planning. And pet planning is an interesting thing. We have lots of clients that have pets, and they love their pets. So if you want to talk about how do I plan for my pet if I pass away, we can talk about that this morning too. So our call-in number here is 390-1370, 390-1370. We've got Andy Wewell out there. He is getting paid for this show, so we need to work the boy a little bit. He's a pretty hard worker anyway, but it's not going to hurt him to work a little bit more. So give us a call, 390-1370, 390-1370, or email me at askbrad@wewell.us. That's askbrad@wiewell.us. And I'll do my best to get you an answer and help you on down the road. All right. Candace Bocock, the ace producer of the show, she's also the director of probate and trust administration services at the Wewell Law Firm, has kind of been digging around for some things for me to talk about. And we've got an email here, too, that I'll get to in just a minute. But let's talk about a few things here that are kind of interesting. And we like to talk about celebrities here because celebrities are good. Let's not call them role models, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think there's a celebrity out there that I would want my children to model themselves after, and I certainly try to avoid modeling myself after most of these folks. But they're out there, and they die too. And it's interesting when celebrities die because all of a sudden it's a, can you believe it? Well, you know, yeah, I believe it because it's going to happen to all of us. The celebrities that we've been talking about recently, Michael Jackson had done planning. Farrah Fawcett, we'll talk a little bit about her plan today. She's done some planning. Teddy Kennedy just passed away. We have a little bit of information on his assets. And so the point of these celebrity deaths is to remind us, A, we're all going to die, and B, that we've got to do some planning if we want things to work out well for our family. And I want to kind of, if we can this morning, if you've got a comment on any of this stuff, I'd love to hear from you too. Comments are welcome on Law Talk with Brad, and you can call 390-1370 and give me a comment too. In fact, let's start with a Teddy Kennedy story because it's very interesting. Teddy, of course, died about 2 weeks ago, I guess now. And he was the son of Joseph Kennedy, the scion of the Kennedy family, the man who made the original money for the Kennedy family. And Joseph Kennedy was a brilliant but estate planning client. He went to very smart lawyers, set up for his family, for his children and his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, something that's called a dynasty trust. And a dynasty trust is where money can pass down generation to generation without estate taxes, all protected from lawsuits, all protected from divorces, all protected from bankruptcies. And this is not that unusual. It's something that's fairly common, but you got to, again, do it correctly. And Joseph P. Kennedy did it correctly, and his children all are benefited. They're about all gone now. I'm not sure there's any Kennedys left, maybe one. But the grandchildren are certainly benefiting. The great-grandchildren are certainly benefiting. And we're still talking about old Joe Kennedy because he set this up. So what the upshot of that is that the money that Teddy inherited from his family in these trusts, and I haven't read the trust, but I've got a pretty good inkling as to how it would read, is going to say, Teddy, when you die, you don't get to leave any of this money to your new wife, Victoria. And you certainly don't get to leave any of this to your ex-wife, Joan. You're going to have to leave this money to your children. or your grandchildren. We're going to keep this money in the Kennedy family bloodline. And that is a high goal and a high purpose of a lot of people with planning, is they want to keep their property, they want to keep their hard-earned assets in their bloodline. Yes, you can leave it to your kids outright, and a lot of people still do that. But as soon as your kid gets it, if they get sued, they can lose it. If they get divorced, it can get tied up in divorce. It's their separate property, but the minute they put it in a joint account, that can change. They can file bankruptcy in this kind of political climate, this kind of economic climate, and they lose it. But the Kennedy kids ain't going to lose it because of a far-sighted, very controversial, I will say, guy, Joe Kennedy. But when it comes to estate planning, there's nothing controversial about Joe Kennedy. He did it right, and that money will be there and provide for his family lawsuit protected, divorce protected, bankruptcy protected for generations to come. And you just got to, frankly, tip your hat to Joe Kennedy on this, because Teddy's money is not going to go to Victoria. And again, Teddy's money is not going to go to his first wife, Joan. It's going to go to his children, at least the money that he's gotten in the Kennedy family trust. And that's the way the family wanted it, and that's what's kept the Kennedy family alive and well. And we're not going to go into right now one of the problems with doing that, but maybe we'll get a chance this morning, we will, which is you can, if you're not careful, raise up a generation of bums. Bums. Because they count all this money and nobody works. Okay, well, give me that. I'll take, what do you think, Snoop? Couple of pounds of that this morning, and call you later. But you know, Joe's money, the Kennedy family money, is going to stay in the Kennedy family line a long time. Now, that's the Kennedy family money. There is a story on Entertainment Today. Not something I watch very often, but it was an interesting story about Teddy's personal fortune. So you got two parts of this. You've got Teddy's personal fortune, and you've got the Kennedy family money. With the Kennedy family money, again, lawsuit protected, divorce protected, bankruptcy protected. What I read or heard along the way is that when Mary Jo Kopechne, the girl that drowned in the car that Teddy was driving back in the late 60s, when her family went to go sue Teddy because he was driving the car that she was killed in, all they got was the insurance that Teddy carried on the car, because none of his personal assets were involved because they were all tied up in the Kennedy trust. A hard result for the Kopechne family, perhaps, but again, exactly what Joe Kennedy wanted with Teddy. Teddy, though, also earned a Senate salary, wrote books, had a personal fortune separate from the money he inherited with his family. And that's money he has the right to control. Joe and Rose, I guess his mother, set it up to where he could enjoy the money they left him, control it to a certain extent, but not control where it went when he died. But his own money, Teddy could decide where it's going to go when he died. And that's going to be an interesting thing, because he may give that to his wife, Victoria. There may be some provisions in a decree of divorce with Joan that he's supposed to give her some of that. And he may skip Victoria, not give any to Joan, and give it all to his kids. We're going to come back and talk more about this after our break. And I'm also going to get to the email that I got while I was gone. And I want to remind you all, we have a call-in number. And our call-in number is 390-1370, 390-1370. I'll be happy to answer your questions this morning on estate planning. And I'll also be happy to hear your comments on the Teddy Kennedy inheritance situation, and whether he should leave it all to his new wife, whether he should leave it all to his kids, whether he should do part to part. We'll see. But your comments would be welcome. This is Law Talk with Brad. This is Brad. I'll see you on the other side of the break.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment on Talk Radio 1370 AM. Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
All right. Welcome back. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. We are here talking about estate planning this morning. I want to take a minute to talk about the Wewell Law Firm. We are an Austin law firm, an Austin area law firm. We actually have now three offices. We have an office in Austin, and we have an office in Georgetown, and we have an office, new office, in the Marble Falls area in Horseshoe Bay. And we are happy to meet you at any of our offices to talk about helping your family plan for what you think is important. And we, again, can do a will or a trust. We can talk about asset protection planning. We can help you with a probate or a trust administration. We can certainly discuss some Medicaid planning issues for a loved one who may be getting older, or we can talk about special needs planning for a family that has, again, a special person in their family, a developmentally disabled loved one. So we can meet you in Austin. We can meet you in Georgetown. We can meet you in Marble Falls. The best number to call us at is our Austin number, which is 480-8828, 480-8828. You can call our Georgetown office, which is 869-1435, 869-1435. And if you're in Horseshoe Bay, Marble Falls, just call our Austin number and we'll set up an appointment. That's 480-8828. All meetings at our offices are by appointment only, but I am board certified in estate planning and probate. This is all we do at the WeWell Law Firm. We have four lawyers, and each of us do a little bit different work. Doug Paul, Candace Bocock, Steve Van Winkle, and me. So if we can help you, we'd be happy to. We're high touch. We listen, and we call ourselves the peace of mind people, because at the end of the day, that's all we can do. We can give you peace of mind. So if we can help you, call the WeWell Law Firm, 480-8828 here in Austin, or go to our website. We have a great website, and our website is TexasTrustLaw.com, TexasTrustLaw.com. You go on TexasTrustLaw.com, you're going to can read some stuff about our firm. You can go to our library and read different articles on estate planning. You can go to our video link, and we have linked to ehow.com, which is a website about how to do just about everything. And we have got, 81 two-minute videos, 81 two-minute videos about how to do estate planning and different parts of it, too. So go there, check it out, and if we can help you, we'd be happy to. So the WeWell Law Firm, the peace of mind people. All right. Let's focus on Teddy for just a little bit more, and then we'll get to our question that we got via a listener here, too. Teddy Kennedy, we talked about the money that Joe Kennedy left his family that is tied up in trust that will be available for that family for generations. And, yes, you can do that, and, yes, we do that fairly frequently at the WeWell Law Firm. But Teddy also had his own money. And some estimates had it originally a couple of years ago. Let's see, in 2007, this is an article from Entertainment Today online, Teddy had between $43 million and $163 million. That ain't bad, all right? But apparently, he got hurt in the market just like everybody else, and last year his net worth was $15 million. So I don't know if Teddy was invested in racehorses or roulette wheels or whatever, but his fortune, if this report is correct, dramatically went down. But $15 million ain't exactly chump change, last time I checked, so not exactly going to be singing the blues here for Teddy. The point is that with his own personal money, he can do anything he wants to with it and may have left a will and may have been smart enough to leave his money to his family in a revocable living trust that would keep it all private. My guess is he didn't, because for some reason, wealthy people continue to do wills, which are honestly not a smart thing to do when you've got a lot of money, because we'll find out exactly what Teddy's fortune was. We'll find out exactly how he left it to his family. And most people that we work with, that we will offer them, want to keep everything private if they can. But we'll find out whether he left a living trust or a will. If he left a living trust, we won't really know many of the details. It'll all be kind of rumor. But if he left a will, we'll know exactly what he did. And I guess the question is, should he leave it all to his wife, Victoria? Should he leave it all to his kids? Should he do half and half? What's the smart thing for Teddy to do? And that's a question many of y'all out there listening may be asking yourself, too, because you may be remarried. You've got a new spouse. A new spouse may be a spouse of the last 5 years, but it's not your first spouse. You've got kids by a prior marriage. Maybe they have kids by a prior marriage. These are what we call blended families. And so what could Teddy do to make sure that he's provided for his wife, who he has, I would consider, a high duty to look after, and his children that are a priority, but most of the time, listen up, kids, a secondary priority, okay? Because people get married to take care of their spouse and to be taken care of by their spouse. And so how do we do this? Well, if Teddy was smart, and my guess is he was in this area of life as well, he was a smart guy, of course, he would leave his money, his $15 million fortune or his $150 million fortune, whatever it is, the money he accumulated on his own during his life to his wife, Victoria, in a trust. And the trust would provide that, Victoria, honey, I love you. I'm leaving you all my money for your enjoyment, for your health, your education, your maintenance, your support. Those are four magic words: health, education, maintenance, and support. I'm leaving it to you for those purposes. Maintenance means, honey, to maintain you in the lifestyle in which you become accustomed. Always like that phrase. Yes, if anybody wants to maintain me in the lifestyle in which you become accustomed, I'm all for that. What do you think, Snoop? Yeah, we're into that. But Vicky, honey, when you die, well, first of all, honey, it's for you. It's not for your new husband. Apparently, Victoria is substantially younger than Teddy, and I think I've seen a picture or two of her. I'm sure she's not an unattractive woman, and it could be that she remarries. Well, the concern that Teddy would have, anybody would have if they're thinking this thing through, is that, well, dang, if she remarries and she can have full control of it, she can give all the money I work for to her new husband. And that's not a very popular prospect. And flipping it, ladies, if you die first and you leave it all to your husband, he can leave it all to his new wife. And that's not a very nice prospect. So what families that are smart do all the time is they leave their money to their spouse in a way their spouse can enjoy it. And in Texas, if they had died in Texas, or Teddy had died in Texas, or done his planning perhaps here, then Victoria could be in charge of Teddy's money that he's leaving her and in charge of her own money. But she'll be prohibited from giving any of Teddy's money to her new spouse if she remarries during her lifetime, and prohibited from giving any of Teddy's money to her new spouse when she dies. Teddy can lock it in that it's all for her use and benefit while she's alive, and she may live a long time, 15 years or so younger than him, maybe good health. She lives into her 90s. That's a long time. It's all for you, honey. I love you, and I'm taking care of you. But when you die, sweetheart, it all goes back to my kids. It's a very common thing. It's a very smart thing. It's a way to make sure that he's taking care of her, which she's going to want, and it's a way to make sure that he is taking care of his obligation to his children, and I use a small O on that. Some people don't feel obliged to their children, and I can't say that I blame him on that either, but if you do feel, and some people feel, a very high obligation to their kids, then it's not hard to create an estate plan where you leave it all to your spouse for your spouse's use and enjoyment, for your spouse's use and enjoyment, not their new spouse's use and enjoyment. And then when they pass away, it goes to the kids in a way that the kids will get it. And again, we're doing this right. We set up a trust for the kids. You can set up separate little trusts for your kids. I call these checkbook trusts. But the money that goes to the kids in the checkbook can be protected from their divorces, from their lawsuits, and from their bankruptcies, too. So, smart way to do it. Maybe that's what Teddy did. I'll bet that's what he did. But we'll see. If we can find out, and we'll keep you posted here on Law Talk with Brad, exactly what he did. It'll be interesting to see what kind of counsel he got. Now, all our phone lines are open, and it's a little bit quiet around here. So, I want to give you a chance to call in. I'd like to hear either a question from you about estate planning and whether this type of thing would fit for you, if you got a question or anything else. Or I would mind a comment from you at 390-1370, 390-1370. Do you think it's right for Teddy to leave his new wife his entire fortune? Do you think it's right that he can do that? Do you think it's right that he should do that? Maybe you're a kid whose spouse is, whose parent has remarried, and you want to know what you can do. Maybe you're the new spouse. Not new again, maybe new, been married 15, 20 years to your spouse. But you may have questions about this stuff. Remarriage stuff, ladies and gentlemen, is tricky, challenging stuff. But if you've got a question, we're happy to answer it this morning at 390-1370, 390-1370, and let me know, because it's an area that I'd like to hear your comments on and your opinion on, whether or not Teddy should leave it all to his new wife, whether he should leave it all to his kids, or if you like this idea of this trust. Okay, we're going to take our email, and Louise emailed me a couple weeks ago. Louise, I'm sorry I was out last week, and I got your email after the show was over the week before that. So last week I was out putting Sam Wewell in college, which is a hard thing to do. God doggone, that was hard. I, you know, greatly underestimated the challenge of that. But challenging it was, and he's at college and seems to be doing well, so that's good. But Louise emailed me, and here's an interesting question. From the standpoint of taxes, is it better to have the entity, I guess a trust or maybe a limited liability company or limited partnership, is it better to have the entity set up prior to receiving gains from an investment, or does it make a difference if it's done after the gains are received? And they were referred to me by a local prominent CPA, Nathan Robnett, who is a very good CPA here in Austin. So that's a great question. And so here's kind of the answer. It depends. I love those answers. Great lawyer answer. They don't teach you that in law school. There's no class on how to answer a question that the answer to every question is it depends. But frankly, Louise, that's a little bit trite. Let me kind of give you a real answer here. Usually it doesn't matter. If you're setting up, and the kind of the subject here is a family trust, if you're setting up a revocable living trust, it doesn't matter. If you're setting up a limited liability company or a limited partnership, usually it won't matter. If you're going to, in most of the cases with an LLC, in all cases with a revocable living trust, the gains, the losses, the deductions, the income and the tax liability is going to flow to you individually, so that it doesn't really matter whether you set the entity up before you receive capital gains or before you receive any income off this investment or afterwards. It may be a little challenge for your CPA to kind of put all the to track it all in the middle of a tax year, but you certainly can set up an LLC, a living trust, family partnership, a limited partnership, anytime you want to. And in most cases, the gains are going to flow to you. They're going to end up on your income tax return. If you have to pay income taxes, you won't pay any more because you've got the entity. If you have a deduction, you'll get the deduction that'll show up on your income tax return, and there really won't be any difference that you'll notice. It may be, depending on how you set this thing up. With a living trust, it won't matter, but if you've got a limited partnership, there will need to be a limit. There will need to be a tax return done for the limited partnership. If it's a limited liability company, there may or may not need to be a tax return for the IRS. In both the limited partnership context and the LLC context, you will need to file a report with the comptroller of the state of Texas regarding franchise taxes. You probably won't pay any additional franchise tax or margin tax is what it's sometimes called, but you will have to report to the state and show them how much you made. You don't start paying a margin tax or franchise tax until you make $300,000, and now that new law is going to say $1 million. It may be $600,000. That sounds confusing because nobody really knows what the number is going to be. But if you've got less than $300,000 worth of income from your little company, from your LLC or your limited partnership, you won't pay any additional tax. There will be no additional tax if you've got these gains in a revocable living trust. A revocable living trust is just it's an informal entity. There's no special tax form. There's no special taxes. It's very flexible and, frankly, invisible to the IRS as long as both of the people who created it are alive. So I hope that answers your question, Louise. And if you have a follow-up, you can feel free to call me this morning at 390-1370, or you can feel free to email me at askbrad@wewell.us. That's askbrad@wewell.us, W-I-E-W-E-L. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, all our phone lines are open, 390-1370, 390-1370. I will see you on the other side of the break. Thanks.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment on Talk Radio 1370 AM. Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
All right. Welcome back. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. And let me talk about the estate tax here for a second. This is something that's been out there, and we're talking about Teddy Kennedy's estate and how the money that Joe left his family because of the structure of the trust and, frankly, the law at the time, all of Joe's money, all of Joe and Rose Kennedy's money is flowing to the Kennedy great-grandchildren, great-grandchildren, whatever, great-great-great-great-grandchildren, estate tax-free. And that's not exactly possible to do all that now. They did change the law back in 1985 to kind of try to plug that loophole. There's still a lot you can do, though, to pass assets down through a trust, estate tax-free if you do it right, but you got to do it right. But the estate tax exemption this year is $3.5 million. If you do it right and you're married, you can pass on $7 million, two exemptions. If you don't do it right, you'll only get one exemption per couple. If you're single, you know you get one exemption. The question has been, what's going to happen next year? Because next year, the law says that there won't be an estate tax. And the joke is, of course, is that's the year you want to die. And you need to do it for the family. Line up, take your little Kool-Aid, and get on down the road because you're going to save the family a lot of money. Well, I don't know if anybody's really going to accept that challenge, although there may be a few untimely deaths in some nursing homes, if you're in a nursing home, if that comes to fruition. But really, people think that Congress is going to change the law between now and then and make some adjustments so that there will be an estate tax next year, and I think that's right. What we've been hearing is that the Congress is probably going to pass a one-year patch, which means that next year there'll be a $3.5 million exemption. Same law as this year, $3.5 million exemption. With some planning, a married couple can get two exemptions per couple. That's $7 million. That's a nice number. But everything over the amount of the exemptions is 45% tax. Okay, big number. Lots of money. There are ways around it. An estate tax is a voluntary tax. If you do the planning, you can get around it, but the planning, frankly, can be expensive, and sometimes people would prefer not to do the planning. We have plenty of people who prefer not to do extensive estate tax planning, but if you really don't want to pay the taxes or you don't want your family to pay the taxes, you can plan around it and avoid those taxes. But with the one-year patch, which will expire at the end of 2010, a little over a year from now, then we'll be back in 2011 with a $1 million exemption. A $1 million exemption, which means a married couple can shelter two if they've done some fairly extensive estate planning, not just a simple will. And without that, a married couple gets to shelter $1 million, and single people get to shelter $1 million, and that includes life insurance, death benefit. I mean, it's really easy with life insurance to be over $1 million in wealth. What we had been thinking and hearing is that, well, $3.5 million is probably what's going to happen. They're probably not going to let it drop to $1 million. We'll be okay. Everybody will be okay. Thank heavens. Doug Paul at Wewell Law Firm went to a program this week, and he heard from Roy Adams, who's this big guru estate planning guy in New York City, nationally known expert. And Roy Adams says, hey, we think there's a better-than-ever chance that we're going to end up with a $1 million exemption. Whew. Well, I'll tell you, folks, if we end up with a $1 million exemption, there are a lot of people listening to this show that aren't going to have an estate tax problem today that will have a large estate tax problem in about 15, 16 months, because a $1 million exemption turns things on its head. If you've got a $3 million estate right now and something happens, there's no estate tax and you got nothing to worry about. If the exemption's $1 million and you have a $3 million estate in 2011, some 15 months and 25 days from today, then the estate tax on your estate will be close to $1 million. Today, zero. In 15 months, $1 million estate tax bill. It's a huge difference, and it's the kind of thing that you need to start doing some planning on. And frankly, it's smart to do planning now because there are some techniques that are available now that may not be available in a couple of months or a couple of years. They're going to try to close some other little loopholes that we have that we can use to minimize the amount of tax, maybe eliminate the tax, but as part of their quest for money. You might have heard that we've got some deficits. Yep, it's true, folks. The federal government is spending money. They can print the money. All right. You and I don't get to print it. They get to print it. And they've got huge deficits, and they're going to try to find a way to reduce those deficits. And they may decide to use the estate tax as a way to reduce the deficits. And if they do, ladies and gentlemen, if it drops to $1 million, which again, Doug came back and was rather stunned at this, then we're going to have our hands full and you're going to have your hands full. So it's important to take some steps now to take advantage of the law that's in place right now that that can help you and your family save a lot of tax if the estate exemption drops to $1 million. I don't know for sure it's going to drop to $1 million. It may not drop to $1 million, but the word in the street is start to think seriously about $1 million exemption because that may be what we're looking at. So, anyway, not good news, but it is news, and it's the kind of news you need to be aware of and take action on. The problem most people have, and if you're a regular listener to this show, you know all about it. Yeah. Boy, this sounds interesting. Boy, this sounds good. Boy, that's something I need to do. Well, you better do it. If you don't do it, let me just tell you, this is a system that is set up to gotcha. This is a gotcha system. If you do the planning, you'll get them. If you don't do the planning, they will get you. You can feel free to call the We Will Law Firm. We're happy to hear from you. We're happy to set up a free complimentary appointment. Come in, kick our tires. We'll review any planning that you've done. We'll talk about some planning if you haven't done any or if you want to consider some new stuff. But we're happy to hear from you and happy to help you in any way we can. Again, you can go to our website, texastrustlaw.com, and check us out there. Or you can call our office. We have three offices, but call our Austin office. It's the easiest place to get us, 480-8828. 480-8828. All meetings are by appointment only, so if you want to come in, call us and set an appointment for Austin, Georgetown, or now Horseshoe Bay. Okay. Today's Saturday. Tomorrow's Sunday. We can help you on this side of life. We cannot help you on that side of life. So you need to get your little bottom out of bed and get to church. Pray for the country, pray for rain, and pray for me. Have a great week. We'll see you next week on Law Talk with Brad. This is Brad Wewell.
Tune in next week for another edition of Law Talk with Brad.